KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
And at 8 o'clock, we have a cloudy sky. It's 2 degrees below zero with a wind chill of 18 degrees below zero. Good morning. I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News. Our forecast is calling for it to be cloudy today with a slight chance of light snow or flurries. We've already had a dusting here in Atlantic earlier today, and we'll look for a high around 15. There is a wind chill advisory that remains in effect until 10 a.m. for most of the listing area, the far west and southwest counties. That advisory will expire at 9 a.m. unless it's extended. In the news, several schools, businesses, and agencies are remaining closed today as Iowa's record-breaking and dangerous deep freeze continues. The National Weather Service has posted wind chill advisories or warnings for Iowa, but as I mentioned, they are expected to expire later this morning. The bitter cold that beset the nation's midsection broke records for in several Iowa cities on Wednesday, including Des Moines. The minus 20 there handily broke the 1965 low of minus 17. The Wednesday wind chill hits minus 40. The minus 25 degrees in Waterloo on Wednesday broke the record of minus 24 that was set in 1951. Estherville, Lamoni, Mason City, and Ottumwa also had record low temperatures. Here in southwest Iowa, many schools are running 2 hours late this morning due to the chilly weather. You can see the entire list, as we've been mentioning to you most of the morning, on our homepage, kjan.com. On the right side, you'll see Community Hub, and just scroll down below there and look for the cancellations tab. Elsewhere in the news, officials of the Danish windmill have announced a donation of $100,000 was made Monday to help with the restoration and capital improvements for the landmark in Elkhorn. Mill manager Lisa Steen Riggs said the generous donation was from Mike and Lou Howard. Riggs said when Mike Howard visited the Danish windmill for the first time, he watched the 15-minute video featuring Harvey Sorensen, the local farmer who came up with the crazy idea of bringing the 60-foot Danish windmill to Elkhorn. Harvey's comment of, "No one said we couldn't do it, so we did," made an impression on Howard. And as he addressed attendees at the annual meeting of the Danish windmill on January 28th, Howard recounted how Harvey's story had inspired him in his many successful business ventures. The donation was announced at the conclusion of his remarks. Riggs said that Mike and Lou have been incredible supporters of the Danish windmill. They've been so engaged in the windmill restoration project and rebuilding the cap frame. And recently, over lunch one day, she said she shared all the capital projects that are still in progress for the coming year and estimated that they'd need to raise about $99,000 to complete them. She added that as Harvey Sorensen would have said, who'd have thought that Mike and Lou would come to the rescue, and they are so grateful for their generosity. During the annual meeting, outgoing President Jody LeCain was presented a certificate in recognition of his service on the board. Newly elected board members and officers include Chris Fredrickson, President, Tony Peterson, Vice President, Sean Anderson, Secretary, Joni Griffin as Treasurer, and Directors Andy Anderson, Clark Ehrenholz, and Tim Anderson. The Danish windmill is a 501c3 tax-exempt nonprofit organization. Charitable gifts and donations are the organization's primary sources of funding. And you can visit danishwindmill.com to review their 2018 annual report. To learn more about the Danish windmill, how you can support the organization, and about the projects, you can also call the Danish windmill at 712-764-7472. And the Creston Police Department reports three recent arrests. Early this morning at around 1:36 a.m., 20-year-old Sundayata Ani Edwards of Des Moines was arrested at the intersection of Sumner and New York Streets for driving while suspended. Edwards bonded out of the Union County Jail on a $300 bond. On last night, 32-year-old Sean Patrick Bagby of Adair was arrested in Creston for possession of controlled substance, second offense, and possession of drug paraphernalia. Bagby bonded out at the Union County Jail on a $1,300 bond. And just after 5 p.m. on Wednesday, 26-year-old Tina Louise Perrigo of Creston was arrested at the intersection of Howard and Palm Streets for driving while suspended. Perrigo bonded out of the Union County Jail on a $300 bond. Officials at the Pottawatomie County Sheriff's Office said yesterday a woman waiting to visit an inmate at the Pott County Jail was arrested Monday after it was determined that she had a warrant for her arrest. 20-year-old Robin Christine Hick of Council Bluffs was wanted for harboring a runaway against the wishes of their parent. Hick claimed the charge had already been dismissed by a judge, but the warrant was still valid in the system. She was subsequently booked into the Pott County Jail. A sheriff's deputy called to a residence on Northern Pine Road in Council Bluffs for a protection order violation, met with the reporting party, and afterward a warrant was issued for 47-year-old James Eric Larson of Council Bluffs. Larson had not been taken into custody at the time the report was issued. And 70-year-old Michael Ray Christensen of Council Bluffs was transported January 24th from the Buffalo County, Nebraska jail to the Pottawatomie County Jail. Authorities say Christensen was booked in on a warrant for failure to appear on a harassment in the first degree charge. Red Oak Police conducted a traffic stop a little before 2 a.m. today in the 1800 block of Highway 48. And as a result, 39-year-old Mary Ellen Kling of Red Oak was arrested for driving while barred. She was transported to the Montgomery County Law Enforcement Center and held on a $2,000 bond. Montgomery County Sheriff's Office reports the arrest of two Red Oak men following an investigation into a shop burglary in Red Oak. Deputies responded to a burglary call at 2227 State Highway 48 at around 8 a.m. on Tuesday. It was discovered that someone had entered the business by forcing the shop door open, and they took eight new chainsaws and a battery power backup. The items were valued at $4,000. Deputies were able to identify two male suspects and obtained a search warrant. At around 2 p.m., 34-year-old Toby McCunn and 50-year-old Renee Valdivia, both of Red Oak, were arrested without incident. A search warrant, executed at 310 Park Avenue in Red Oak, resulted in the recovery of all eight chainsaws and the battery backup. McCunn and Valdivia were charged with burglary in the third degree and held on a $5,000 cash bond each. Well, due to the extreme cold and other factors, the American Red Cross is issuing an emergency call for blood donors in Iowa. Samantha Pollard, a spokeswoman for the agency's Midwest Blood Services region, says they have less than a three-day supply of most blood types. A five-day supply is ideal for stocking hospitals for emergencies and daily needs, but she says that's fallen off over the past month.
We've seen a lot of winter storms already throughout the entire country, and a lot of flu has been spreading around, taking people out of eligibility to donate blood. And that paired with people traveling over the holidays really kind of put us in a bad spot.
Pollard suggests Iowans who are scheduled to give blood should stay home if they don't feel well.
We have a lot of people call in, the day of their donation to say that they're not going to make it because they're sick, they have the flu, and that's good. We don't want people to come in if you're sick. Please do not. But we also want to remind people that if you've gotten a flu shot, that does not make you ineligible to donate. As long as you're symptom-free, then please come in and donate.
Pollard said blood products are being distributed to hospitals faster than donations are coming in. She encourages people to participate in blood drives to help restock the supply. Pollard says the easiest way to find a blood drive is through the website, redcrossblood.org.
On the homepage, you'll just put in your zip code, and it'll pull up all the drives that are near you. Another way is calling us at 1-800-RED-CROSS, and somebody will help you find a drive. And then we also have an app, so you can download our blood donor app, search for Red Cross Blood Donor. And the app is really cool. You can make your appointment in there. It reminds you of when your appointment is.
Pollard says with 2 months of winter still ahead, severe cold weather may cancel more blood drives, resulting in an elevated threat to an already low blood supply. Elsewhere in Western Iowa news, an Iowa woman charged in the death of her baby left the courtroom sobbing during her first day of trial yesterday when prosecutors showed photos of her lifeless son in a swing set. 21-year-old Cheyenne Harris caused a break in her trial Wednesday at the Plymouth County Courthouse in Lamars. Harris has pleaded not guilty to first-degree murder and child endangerment resulting in death. She was arrested August 2017 after medics found 4-month-old Sterling Cohen dead in a swing in a dark, sweltering bedroom. An autopsy showed he died of malnutrition, dehydration, and an E. coli infection after being left in caused by being left in a maggot-infested diaper for up to 2 weeks. The boy's father, Zachary Cohen, already has been sentenced to life in prison. The body of a University of Iowa student has been found on the campus in Iowa City, and officials believe his death was weather-related. The body of 18-year-old Gerald Bells was found behind an academic hall just before 3 a.m. Wednesday by campus police. He was taken to a hospital where he died. Officials believe his death was related to dangerously low temperatures at the time he was found. Officials have not given a specific cause of death. Bells' family told Cedar Rapids television station KCRG that doctors did not find alcohol in his system. The National Weather Service says the wind chill was around 3 a.m. was negative 51 degrees. The death is the eighth fatality linked to the extremely cold weather here in the Midwest. And Marshalltown police have released more information on a teenager who was found dead after a five-day search. Police Chief Mike Tupper talked about the findings in the death of 13-year-old Corey Brown.
When you look at the preliminary autopsy results coupled with the investigation facts that we've uncovered, it is clear that Corey Brown died of a significant head injury after he fell from a considerable distance after climbing onto a communication tower.
Police say Brown went over a fence and climbed the tower in a secluded area where his body was found Sunday morning. Brown left his home on the evening of January 22nd after what was reported as a typical parent-teen dispute. Police are still waiting on results of chemical tests following the autopsy, but they say there is no indication of criminal activity. That is a check of our news on KJAN. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.